Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. And today's guest is Tom Fee from Vector Wealth Management. Tom, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
Good morning.
We've got a very interesting topic today, and I'm not sure I know how to describe it other than Tom has told us that the topic is about today's economy and a term called new normal. Tom, anything having to do with normal, I'm probably not good at, so could you explain this to us?
Well, my wife would probably deny that I have anything to do with normal, so I'll do my best
to come along.
Okay,
this should be interesting.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, what we have, and this may not have gotten out to the general marketplace yet, but within the financial industry, there are folks that are starting to talk about this concept of a new normal, that times have changed dramatically and that we aren't going to, it's not going to be the way that we have all grown up with perhaps over the last 30 years or so. And, you know, somebody says, well, how do you define the new normal? And I think probably the easiest way to say it's not like the old normal.
Okay.
Well, I think of Wall Street, I don't think normal.
Yeah, there you go. There's the
Wall Street, investments, normal just doesn't come to mind. Yeah. I mean, okay.
It's more like the Frankenstein movie, the brain abnormal, you know. When Igor went to get a brain for Frankenstein and he dropped the one on the floor, he went and picked up one that said abnormal.
Right.
And that's what we ended up with, a dancing Frankenstein. So,
does this new normal, is this supposed to be the conditions today subsequent to fourth quarter 2008? What is?
It's really saying that this period of time that we've had since maybe early 1980s, all the way through the 90s and into the 2000s, things are going to be, there are those that are saying that things are going to be different moving forward now. That there's a new normal that we have to prepare ourselves for and then make decisions around this new normal, if you will.
So is this a crystal ball thing, or where did this come from, Tom?
Well, it actually, I think where I heard it first, and I don't want to give Bill Gross of PIMCO credit for it or not give him credit for it, but that was the first place that I had heard it. It's that, we need to kind of look at the investment world differently. And quite frankly, in this discussion, I don't want to delve into talking about the earnings potential of Microsoft or, what the leading sectors are going to be. Yeah, yes, I agree. Good. But it's really, look at, it's to say perhaps in the financial services industry, investment analysis, we like to delve into the minutia and try and predict what's going to happen, and I think the honest statement is that no one in this business gets it right all the time. Because if they did, they would have all of the money. We would have one financial advisor, and we'd be grateful for it. And that's just not the way it is. There's too many variables in this. You've got market cycles. You have sector cycles. You have high inflation. You have low inflation. You have secular bear markets. You have secular bull markets. You've got all these variables that we all want to – we don't like uncertainty. Human beings do not like uncertainty. It's almost – there's this this book that I read called Flow, The Psychology of the Optimal Experience. And early in the book, he says that it's human nature to believe that where we are is where we always are going to be. Okay, we get someplace and it's always going to be bad like this. It's over.
Future from that position.
Correct. Yeah. I've got a cold. I'm never going to feel good again. and that's just not the way it is. That things do cycle. They do change, and we do get back to some some other spot than where we are today.
History tells us it changed. In the 70s, we had inflation. In the 80s, we had the high interest rates. And in the 90s, we were dealing with the Resolution Trust Corporation. Remember that?
Yes.
And now we've got this perfect storm here with the financial industries. But it changes. We'll come out of this, too. It's just a matter of time. But how do you deal with this going forward? Is it a mental thing? Is it a we've talked before about how Pension Track can help us get control of things and understand how our behavior can affect our investments and how we can control that. But for a business owner, what do they need to understand about this new normal and how's that going to impact them going forward?
Well, I think and I have to say, is that in this new normal, I think it's open to debate whether or not it is a new normal. It's new to us, but you know we've been here before. It's just nobody who's really alive who's here to tell us about it. So it's you know we have these circumstances where I think there's some folks out there that aren't very happy with Alan Greenspan today, that they feel that he made capital too available for too long. And again, not to move into a debate about that, but Alan Greenspan has some gray hairs and he's got some wrinkles. And he has said some things that if you read between the lines of what Alan Greenspan has been saying, is he said, we have been kind of here before and we probably won't be back here again for a long time. And so the wisdom in that is that we are being defined by this new normal. We talked about behavior in the past, you know, that importance of behavior and how we respond to everything. Our behavior is going to change because of our current circumstances, just as the behavior of those in the 20s and 30s changed because of their current circumstances. These are very much defining moments for us in this new normal, but exactly what this is really can't be stated with clarity until 20 or 30 years from now when we look back.
What's interesting, I was reading three different newspaper articles talking about what was going on in the marketplace and the whole foreclosures on homes. And I mean, just everything has been going on in the past year was summarized in this article. And that when I turned it over, the back of the article was 1893.
Right.
You know, it's a shocker when you realize that we have these cycles can be really, really long or really, really short. And we, you know, that we are maybe coming back to something that has occurred before.
Exactly. And one of the flaws in human nature is the belief in the uniqueness of us or the uniqueness of our experience. And you know, I don't know about you, but as I age, I become so comfortable with my lack of uniqueness.
Yeah.
You know, and I think where we get into trouble is when we think we really are, because then there is no template. There's nothing that can help us or me get through a circumstance because I'm so unique. Mm-hmm. No, we aren't unique. We all have these lives, and it has happened before, but we just aren't going to, we aren't getting the benefit of prior wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, sometimes we get so far out there in these topics that it's hard to define it. But if you bring it back to just a personal level and you think about your kids, now, I don't know about yours, but we have good kids, but they're going to make mistakes. And the only way you don't learn from what you do right, you learn from what you do wrong. And
that's why Tom's brilliant.
Yeah.
Experience has been just a master teacher in my life, I'll tell you.
It is. We've got we spent a little time out in Montana in ranch country, and we call it, you know, life lesson number 648.
I'm up to 10,532.
There you go.
And they were all harsh too.
They are, and you don't get to repeat the same lessons. You know, it's like, oh God,
I'll do better next time.
Right. I'll remember to put the fence up near the house so the horses don't use the downspouts as butt scratchers. You know, well. I'm not going to have that chance to do it again. You know?
The good news, Tom, is there's always a new way to mess up.
Yeah, exactly.
They're unlimited.
And then we can laugh about that now. We don't have to take it so seriously. But, in this time of this new normal, there are some serious things that we need to consider. And
what's going to define new normal? I'm still trying to catch up with new normal.
Well, the new normal. Let's
any
just,
normal for me. I'm trying to catch up.
Let me go through a kind of a short list of things, and not to, again. This is maybe a little bit of eye cross or eye blur or something, and it's not my intent. But
hey, Sam, pay attention. There's going to be a quiz.
Now. I mean, maybe what we've learned to define our new normal is that excessive growth in the markets is unsustainable. You can't have the stock market go up for 17 years at a rate in excess of 14% a year. It has never sustained that in history, and it is clearly demonstrated that it can't do it moving forward. That personal debts, that the consumer in America has too much debt. And that is not something that we can keep doing. It needs to be reduced. That personal saving rates have kind of gone through phantom gains. And that's really been through the portfolios that seem to be going up at too high of a rate, as well as maybe home values that we saw accelerating too rapidly, that we actually felt that we were becoming wealthy because of high growth in assets or high growth in housing values. But quite frankly, that's not...
Tom, let's talk about that for a minute, because you talk about like the 401ks, the IRAs, and your homes.
Right.
The only time I'm really worried what my home is worth is the day I sell it. If I'm going to live in my home for 15 or 20 years, and I bought it about 15 years ago, it's gone up in value. Recently, it's come down in value. It's going to go up in value again, but the only day that really matters is the day I sell it and what it's worth that day, because I had to have somewhere to live. And the same thing with the 401k and the IRAs. I want them to accumulate, but they're going to fluctuate. They're going to go up and down. The only time I really care about that is when I need to start drawing down the money. So is this a behavioral reaction to the thought that, hey, I'm rich because it was high and now it's lower and, oh, I'm not as rich and therefore I'm depressed? How do you deal with that?
Well, a part of the new normal is our need to have a higher savings rate as a country, okay? Because what people were doing when the markets were going up at 14% is they weren't saving anymore. I don't need to save. So savings rates went from like 10 to zero. So we had this false wealth, if you will.
And now they're saving everything, not spending anything.
Correct.
Only they're burying it out in the yard.
Yeah. And you know what? To a certain degree, that's okay. It's actually a good thing. We had the same experience with home values. And it wasn't just that we had these home values going up. And to your point, Tom, if your home is just used as a residence, as shelter, your analysis is exactly right. But what people were using it was a piggy bank. And that we were, you know, when I hear these commercials, it's the only time I start screaming at the radio in the car.
When they refinanced and refinanced and
exactly.
refinanced.
Exactly. Take your credit card debt and roll it into a long-term debt. Take short-term debt, make it a long-term debt, reduce your payment to $200 a month, because you're not going to go out there and put more money on your credit card and do the same thing again.
Right.
You know, it is.
That water heater is not going to blow. You won't need it.
You're right.
What's that theory?
Sin.
If you keep doing it over and over again, what makes you think it's going to change next time?
Yeah, exactly. Something about insanity, you know, and it is absolutely insane behavior. But here's the part of it is it's that not that people were intentionally doing this. It's simply they didn't have enough information to understand the impact of what these decisions that we're going to have. And now there are some folks that think that, you know, as we look forward on this new normal, what's going to happen from that is that we may see the gross domestic product of the United States reduced from perhaps 3% a year to 2% a year by the need for additional savings. We are a responsible culture. We kind of got out of whack because we thought that this over here was real, that the markets would keep going up and then home values would keep going up. It's not that we were kind of fooled. But now, almost instantly, when we became aware that this wasn't real, the savings rates have leaped. And I look at that and say, God bless America. I mean, this is what we do. We are responsible people. We made a mistake. Let's adjust to that mistake. But that increase in savings has the opportunity to dampen gross domestic product by perhaps a full percent a year as we get back to what should be the more responsible savings levels and, quite frankly, debt reduction. levels that we just are going to need to go through moving forward. So part of the new normal in America is going to be this sense of personal responsibility. I have to do this myself. I have to reduce debt and I have to save more. Part of the global issue is that the American consumer was approximately 18% of the global GDP.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're about 5% of the world's population, roughly. So our role in GDP was four times as large as our population base. Well, there's some of that's okay because we are an affluent country and we'll probably be able to sustain some of that. But quite frankly, moving forward, you've got all these developing emerging countries that created a production capacity. They have factories in India set up to feed the demand in the United States. They have created an export economy, right? They've gotten, it's not just about, it's about the production levels that we're not going to necessarily need as we start to save more. So the world has to, which has done other countries, do a great job of saving, tremendous, to the point where it hurts their opportunity for growth. So this, as the economies of the world grow, we need to have consumers in other countries save less and spend more. In America, we need to spend less and save more. And somewhere over the long term, we probably need to meet in the middle someplace. So is this a new normal or is this simply new to us? And we'll get back to a more normal situation of responsible saving and responsible spending more universally.
But is that what I'm hearing you saying is that there's a balancing act always going on. You're on one side or the other of the cycle and going through this arc or balancing act. I can't think of a good analogy for it. But so there really that is the only new normal. That is the only normal now is that and because we're global and the economies are globally entwined, it's just a bigger balancing act.
Exactly. You know what? One of the things I feel most passionate about in my life is the concept of micro-lending.
Okay.
And if we look at everything that's going on in America today, it's really hard to get a handle. Too much complexity. And, you know, with complexity comes lack of understanding. With lack of understanding comes fear. With fear comes bad behavior. Okay. So sometimes I just need to find that spot where I can just see how the best system in the world works, which is capitalism. And that's in microlending. And microlending was the Nobel Prize for Economics. It was I probably will get the wrong country and apologize, but I think it was, might have been Sri Lanka, where a banker who decided to set up a process of lending money to primarily women in impoverished situations. And they would lend those women $200. Or a woman $200, and she would go out and buy a cow and start milking that cow and selling the milk and then pay the loan back and as well as provide an income for her family. And the payback rates on these micro lending loans exceeds that of Fortune 500 companies in America. More of these loans are paid back than you would expect in a much more sophisticated economy. So I guess what I see from that is that at its core, capitalism is about personal responsibility, borrowing to start a business, paying back your debts, and teaching the process of, you know, to teach someone to fish and they can feed themselves. I mean, and it is somewhat vogue now. And I love, what a great vogue. I mean, there are these Opportunity Internationals springing up and they're doing this in many different fashions. One of the ways they're doing it now is they'll get a group of, and again, I have to say it's primarily these loans are going to women. But they'll get 10 women that collectively have a responsibility to each other when these loans are made. So they're creating support groups. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I look at all the craziness that's going on in the world and all the fear and all the uncertainty and this talk about a new normal, I go back to that spot and I watch capitalism at its core doing what it does best, which is creating opportunity. And we will get back to that. We will get back. We've talked in previous discussions about the mean.
Mm-hmm.
And we will get back to a mean in this. It may be painful for us because we had such high extremes. We had too much excess growth in the markets. We had too much excess growth in housing, which I'd like to speak to specifically. And so in our lives, it may, gosh, this we may have some hard times here for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years as we pay the price for excess. But we will pay the price because there isn't a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So how we're getting around to defining this new normal, and I'm kind of stuck on the international aspect of that, because as I watch the European Union, as I watch the Euro, as I watch what's going on in Germany and all those countries, they're in the same mess that we're in, if not worse in some cases, like Ireland. And I see the world shrinking, and I see the problems being more universal as opposed to where we've always thought that the United States was the center of the world the last couple hundred years. But
right.
We're actually a very young country as compared to most of the rest of those. Now, how's that international aspect tying to this new normal? And what can we expect as a business owner, as an investor? What can you expect out of this new normal, and how do you deal with it?
Well, it really comes down to, boy, that's a big question. How much time do we have?
We're recording this one. 20 years from now, we'll come back and say, Tom Fee told us, and
oh,
he was right.
God. Yeah, that's the personal responsibility in what you say. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm on the edge of my chair. I'm waiting for the answer, Tom.
Well, I would say when you look at it in that large context, the Europe and America are not where the vast majority of future economic activity is going to be. That, you know, I think it actually, if we use the example of England and where England is as a country, England is a relatively small piece of land that has a relatively large influence and impact on the rest of the world. And it is, in moving forward, this is a personal opinion, and opinions are dangerous, but I believe that, and you know, I think it's fairly substantiated too, so it's not like I'm making this up as I go, is that the American economy, the United States, will shrink as a component of the global economy, and our role in the world will be not only that of hopefully stability and hopefully responsible management of our economy, one that hopefully the world will depend on as a standard currency, because you have to have some standard currency that has confidence around it, but that we will probably end up with owning a tremendous number of companies overseas as our capital opportunities are less than the United States. If our GDP is going to grow at 2% and India's is going to grow at 6%, by gosh, we should be buying some companies in India. And you can even see that with, you know, mm-hmm. Cisco recently. Cisco did a debt offering for $5 billion in the United States to buy companies here. Well, they needed money to buy companies. Mm-hmm. Well, yes and no. They have $35 billion that they're keeping offshore, because if they repatriate it, there's a tax effect. So what's Cisco going to do with those dollars? I would imagine if they're buying companies here, they'll probably be buying companies around the world. So I think in this new normal, what we're going to see is this continued evolution of the United States of being less of the economy and more of a critical component of the global economy, with more of a globalized position. Europe, you know, Europe, quite frankly, is has taken a little bit different route. I mean, they have social programs or social aspects to the way they manage their economies that is more advanced than ours. I don't mean advanced in a negative or a positive way, but those mm-hmm. that responsibility of government in people's lives is, many people say, more advanced in the United States. And is that the right direction or the wrong direction? Do you know, in the world's economy, in the next 20, 30, 40 years, Europe will be a smaller player also. So we really need to look to see, you know, what is, you know, they call the BRIC, you know, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And right now I'm going with BIC rather than BRIC. I'm not sure about Russia, where they're going, you know, but it that this new normal is really to say, to not be so egocentric, so believing that, you know, the world currently does kind of revolve, the economic world does revolve around the United States, but and we will always innovate. There is no country in the world that really is based on immigration other than the United States. that people would come to seek to, that we get this resurgence of energy and creativity through immigration. It's a wonderful thing, immigration is, if it's done responsibly. So we will always, in this new normal, have a role. And by the way, I'm going to go back to say, I'm not sure that we have a new normal. It's new to us, but it's not a new normal. There's those that say, for instance, if you looked at the microcosm of, let's say, how we invest, that there are those that say you can no longer buy an index because look what happened to all the indices in the last correction. They all went down like rock. So actively managed large growth managers are the way to go. Well, maybe as this thing settles out for the next 3 to 4 years, it's better not to be more passive in how you're investing, that you just don't buy an index as a part of your investment strategy, that you look to someone that has 29 holdings in their large growth fund, and they are avoiding certain asset classes or certain sectors. Sectors, not asset classes. So, but
isn't there really more of a fundamental change? I mean, we've stopped the excessive growth in the markets has slowed down. We're dealing with the debts. We're trying to save more. There's kind of, everyone feels there's been kind of a fundamental change. But then if that's happened, then what's going to drive the economy going forward?
Well, it'll be our behavior. If we are going to save more and spend less, then there are certain parts of the economy that may not benefit as much as they have in the past. You know, our behavior will define what we do moving forward, and our behavior will be guided by what we have to do. You know, if you took it from economy down to a family again, if you have a family that's got $50,000 in debt, you can't fix it by having $60,000 in debt. You have to reduce that debt so that you can manage your life. It's no different with the United States economy. Mm-hmm. When we get caught way up here and we forget, every time you look at what's going on in this country, say, take the name USA and apply Johnson. Apply your own name to it. Say, if this were just my family, what decisions would I make?
I keep hearing, if it was my checkbook, would I handle it this way?
Here's a novel idea. When you buy a house, pay off the mortgage.
There you go. That's right. That's
might not have that trouble then, would you?
That's correct.
Tom, any final thoughts about the new normal and advice for our listeners as to about the fundamental change?
Well, here's what I would say is that if you spend too much time in all of these global issues, if I could drill it down today, is what I'd like to say is that, look, there's so many things you can't control in your life. But as a business owner, what you can control is what you do every day to control expenses, to manage that business well, and to think of what you're asking this business to do in your life. Don't get caught in the 30,000 feet. Drill it down to what do I need to get done today, because it's really ultimately all we can control.
Back to the basics.
Correct.
Deal with it. Make progress every day, and try to just get through this current situation, because things do change.
Correct.
Well, Tom, this has been a fascinating discussion. I'm not sure I still understand the new normal, but I'm going to listen to this 20 years from now and see how well you did.
Okay, I'll be there with you.
Okay. This is Tom Lyons for my co-host Sam Zordich and our producer Georgie Jorgensen. I'd like to thank Tom Fee from Vector Wealth Management for being with us on this segment of todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.